Lovely to see those who've gathered with us on this blustery sort of an evening, and you're very welcome in the house of God. We're just going to sing together a few hymns before we commence our service proper. Tell me the story of Jesus, write in my heart every word, tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent years go by. Love, tell it to me again. Wonderful, wonderful love. Wake the immortal sleep.
Wonderful story of love, and it was
manger sent from the Father above, Jesus Christ the Saviour was born, marvellous gift of his love. Hymn tonight is the hymn number 84, Jesus my Saviour, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger, to sorrow and shame. We'll stand while we make this our opening praise, and let's sing our very best, please.
Thank you.
They make much, and rightly so, of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's coming again.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, my Savior, shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Just as precious as those promises of his first coming, so are the promises that this Savior, this Jesus, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And praise God, we will see him. Every eye will see him. But will you be ready? Are you ready for that day? The Savior will come in power and in great glory. Let's think of these words as we sing this verse and chorus again, please. Remain in silence. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's just still ourselves in the Lord's presence. Let's seek the Lord's face, even that he would come by his presence and bless our coming together in this service this evening. Let us all pray. Our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, in the all worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy presence this evening hour. We thank thee for the glorious hope that resides within the breast of each child of God, and that we can say, Jesus is coming for me. We thank thee for that anticipation that rests within the heart of each child of God, that there will come a day when the Savior will come again in power and in great glory. And we pray, our loving Father, that each one in this service will be able to say, he's coming me. Oh, may he not come in judgment, but may he come as the Redeemer and the Savior. And we pray, our loving Father, that each one in this service will have that assurance that they are reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the opportunity again this evening to gather in the house of God. We thank thee that thou hast enabled us in thy mercy and in thy favor to be gathered in the house of God with thy people around thy word to sing thy praise. And our loving Father, we pray that this evening there will be a sense of thy presence. Oh, we thank thee for the organization. We thank thee for the work that goes into even coming together in this fashion. And we thank thee for every element of what will take place this evening. But our loving Father, above all, we pray that thou wilt come with thine almighty power, as we were reminded even in the time of prayer. The wind bloweth where it listeth. No, we hear the wind outside this evening. But, O Lord, we thank thee that the Savior, when speaking to Nicodemus, reminded him that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it comes or whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. And, oh, as the wind would blow outside tonight, may the wind of the Spirit of God blow in this gathering, we pray. Father in heaven, we cry unto thee that thou wilt grant to us an old-fashioned gospel meeting. Men and women will call upon thee in mercy and cry unto thee for saving faith. Oh, may the gift of faith be granted tonight, we pray. And Father in heaven, may there be new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray for all who've gathered. We thank thee for all who've come. Oh, may we be an encouragement one to the other. But above all, may we encourage ourselves in the one who is our great God. And we pray, our Father in heaven, that this night, oh, we'll be able to sing the praise of our Redeemer, the one who loved us, the one who came to die for us, the one of whom thy word tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save
that which is lost. So be with us this evening. Bless those who will take part, those who will read thy word, our sister as she sings. And O loving Father, as thy servant comes to minister thy word, fill him and endue him with the power of God the Holy Spirit. And Father in heaven, we pray that you'll give to his hearing ears and understanding hearts. May not one of us leave this service tonight, but that we've been drawn afresh to Christ. Oh, we would see the Saviour tonight in all his glory and in all his beauty. We're not unmindful of those who cannot be with us. We think of those who are laid aside. We think of those tonight with particular needs in a hospital bed. We pray, Father in heaven, that thou wilt draw specially near to them. And in the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their crisis, in the midst of their circumstances, we pray that they will be comforted in the knowledge that thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We pray for those who mourn tonight. We think of families who have been plunged into sorrow. We pray, Father in heaven, that in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their sorrow, oh, may they find the sympathizing Jesus. May they know the Lord Jesus Christ to draw alongside, to comfort and to cheer. So be with us this evening, we pray. May all that's said and done down to the honor and glory of thy name. For we ask these things in that lovely name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we will have a number of our congregation taking part tonight, and we're just going to this stage ask Kirsty Wallace to come and to read to us from the Word of God. Kirsty will read from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. Kirsty.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What a Savior. He came to save us from our sin. I'm going to ask our sister Sarah Moffat to come and to minister to us in song now. And just after Sister Sarah sings to us, Reverend Park will come. He would have allowed me to do the announcements, you know, but I just thought, well, I just let Mr. Park do the announcements. As I've said before, it's the most difficult task in this congregation. It's always to do the announcements. So, brother, we'll let you do the hard work, and he'll come after Sarah sings and do the announcements, please.
Sweet. Thank Kirsty for reading and Sarah for singing tonight. May the Lord bless his word and may he bless those messages and song. What a delight it is for me to make the announcements. It's the part that people don't seem to like to do, but we have it here before us and you'll see all the announcements coming up. We welcome you to this special meeting tonight in the Saviour's name. If you're visiting with us, you're not normally here with us on a Sunday night, we're very glad to see you, and we trust that you'll feel very much part of what's happening here tonight, part of the congregation. If you're listening in on the internet, we bid you welcome also, whether it's by sermon audio or YouTube or by Facebook. Now, I just happened to notice as I glanced at the Facebook page that our brother Stuart Parkhill is listening in, and he's listening in from hospital. He wouldn't want any fuss made. So I just say that at the start, and he probably wouldn't want me to be announcing this, but he is in hospital, and he's had some heart problems this week, and he needs to have a pacemaker put in, inserted in the oncoming week. So he's waiting for a space at the Royal Victoria Hospital. We would just like you to pray for Stuart. Now, tomorrow night is the prayer meeting for the Sunday school teachers at 8 o'clock, and just let me mention that the Christian school has their concert, their Christmas concert, at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, but because of social distancing, it is by invitation only. But pray for them nonetheless as they take part. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we've started following on from the series that we did, The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are going to deal with the 9 fruits of the Spirit, those things that the Spirit of God works into the lives of his people. Saturday morning, as we go into the centre of the town, we have our open air, our Christmas one at 11. We encourage you to come and be with us. Next Lord's Day begins with prayer at 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school at 10:30. and the Bible class at the same time. Mervyn's dealing with the incarnation of Christ. The worship service, 12 noon, meditations in Mark is the study, and then the carol service at 7, when members of the congregation will take part, including In the Will of God, our choir. I'll be preaching. The prayer meeting is at 6:15. Let me mention the midweek service during the Christmas week will be on Monday night of the Christmas week at 8 p.m. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and your offerings to the Lord's work. And today is Building Fund Sunday.
I ask our brother Aaron Johnston if he'll come now, and Aaron's going to read to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1-12. Aaron, thank you.
Our second reading tonight is found in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." We'll end the reading there.
Thank you, Aaron, for reading to us the Word of God. We're going to sing together the hymn number 85. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown, and thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room. I wonder tonight, is there room in your heart for the Saviour? Have you room for Christ? Or maybe there's other things that have crowded out the Saviour. No time, no place. Oh, that tonight you would find him to be your dearest friend, and you would have room in your heart for him. Thou dost leave thy throne. We'll stand together while we sing this hymn, please.
Thank you.
ask the Reverend Park just to come to read God's word and to bring the message the Lord has laid upon his heart. Reverend Park.
Can I thank you, Mervyn, for leading tonight? It's always appreciated and good to get back to this little bit of normality at Christmas time when we can sing the carols together and have others participating. We're turning to that passage of Scripture that was read for us just a moment or two ago by Aaron in Matthew chapter 2, and the opening 12 verses. If I'm right, for Sunday school, Wesley, next Sunday morning, the children get their selection boxes. So just to announce that, to encourage them to make sure they're at Sunday school, I'm sure they will be, and they'll look forward to that. Now, the message that I wanted to preach on tonight is the Star of Bethlehem, and maybe just to be more precise, Christians are to be like the Star of Bethlehem. And we're going to see how and why tonight. But before we come to the message, we'll have a wee word of prayer. Just ask the Lord's help upon this time in his word. Gracious God, we give thanks for all that has gone before. We rejoice in the great hymns that speak of the coming of Christ into the world. We are reminded, especially at this time of the year, concerning the incarnation of Christ. We bless thee for the one who came from the ivory palaces of glory, descended into this world of woe and sin, wickedness and corruption. And he came to be the Savior of men. We praise thee for his life. We thank you for his death. We rejoice in the fact that he purchased eternal redemption for us. And we thank thee for the message of the gospel, the good news that men can be saved from their sin, that they do not need to die and perish in their sin, but there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to God. Bless your word that has been read tonight from Matthew's gospel. Bless our little meditation now in this chapter as we think about the Star of Bethlehem. Lord, teach us the things that we need to know tonight, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Every star of the heavenly host was created by Almighty God. In the six-day creation of the universe, on day four, we're told that God made lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night. And these, of course, were the two great lights that Genesis speaks about, the sun and the moon. And then we have that little phrase, and sometimes we say it seems just incidental. He made the stars also. Just like that. Our great God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the entire universe, he made the stars also. Just in that little tiny phrase, he called into existence the billions and the billions of stars that there are out there. Now, stars feature greatly in Bible history. God used the multiplicity of stars to encourage Abraham about his posterity when he said to him, look toward heaven and tell the stars. In other words, count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. The same promise was reiterated to his son Isaac many years later. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. In the Psalm 8, as David considers the greatness of the heavens, it made him contemplate the smallness of man, the insignificance of man. David wondered why such a great and an infinite God would be mindful of creatures like you and me. And this is what he wrote by the inspiration of God in the Psalm 8 and verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David, looking up into the starry sky, pondered the mighty God who made this vast and wonderful universe. Now, with the naked eye, you can see about 5,000 stars. With a 4-inch telescope, you can see about 1 million stars. And with a 200-inch mirror of a great observatory, you can see more than 1 billion stars. The universe is so huge that if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 40 billion years to reach the end of the universe. And so in Psalm 8, the stars are a teaching lesson about the greatness of God. I've told you before that in our own galaxy, which is called the Milky Way, there are 100,000 million stars. I think that's 100 billion, if you want to put it that way. And then, of course, you have all the other galaxies with their stars of a similar nature. There's something like 125 billion galaxies, and all these galaxies comprise the universe. And God, He just made the stars also. And so the stars are used to teach us something about God's greatness. Stars feature greatly at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Joel prophesies of the stars withdrawing their light when Jesus comes again. And Jesus in the New Testament, when He spoke about His coming again, He referred to the stars of the heavens falling. Jesus Christ is called a star. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now some say prophetically this points to David. Others say that it is with reference to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some scholars, both Jewish and Christian, understand it to be partly David and partly Christ. David as the type and Christ as the fulfillment of that type. But principally, the prophecy is to do with Christ and has its great completion in Christ. Star, therefore, may be considered as one of the great names or the titles of the Messiah. We know in the last book of the Bible, the final chapter, chapter 22 and verse 16, Jesus is called the Morning Star. And this title points to His glory, His majesty, His brightness, and His splendor. And for the light that comes through Him, because He is the light of the world. But I want to suggest to you this evening that God's people, all the redeemed of God, are in a special way stars in this world to give light and direction in a dark place and in a place of sin and chaos. We read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever." That's a reference to God's people who are involved in God's work. They are stars. The ministers of the seven churches in Asia Minor are called stars in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, where it refers to the stars or the angels or the messengers of the church. So we are stars in this world, shining brightly to turn many to righteousness, to turn them to faith in Christ. And I want to borrow the term, and I want to apply it to you and I, particularly tonight as Christians. We have a very powerful application here in the incarnation story that Aaron read to us from Matthew chapter 2, where the wise men follow the star in the east, which eventually led them to the infant Christ. And that's our task. That's my assignment as a gospel preacher. That speaks of the great burden that we have for those who do not know Christ as their Savior. We sense and we feel it tonight in this meeting, and especially every Sunday night, which is really the gospel service that time when we present the message of Christ as the Savior of men, and we encourage others to seek Christ, come to know Him as their personal Savior. This is the great burden of our heart, to turn men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ, to righteousness. So as I thought of the passage of Scripture and this subject tonight, there were a number of words that came to my mind as I thought of God's people being stars in this world. The first word that came to my mind was illumination. Now, this might seem very basic and elementary, but it's worthwhile just pausing for a moment or two and emphasizing this with you. As stars, we are lights in this world, illuminations that ought to be bright and clear and pure before our fellow man who lies in darkness. Now, you will be familiar with the very striking exhortation of Jesus Christ in what was probably the greatest sermon that he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord Jesus spoke in these terms. And over just a page or two in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, and verse 14 to 16, this is what Jesus says concerning his people. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So here the Lord is clearly telling his people, you're light in this world. You're just like stars shining brightly for him. If you read Daily Light last night, you will have come across similar language. Some of the verses refer to this very thing. For example, you will have read Isaiah 60 and the opening verses. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You will have read also that passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto a man that unto men that wait for their Lord. Now, you might like to add to that list what we read in Ephesians, the chapter 8, and in, or the chapter 5 and verse 8, rather. Let me read the verse to you. For ye sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And you want to take in also what we read in the book of Philippians and the chapter 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we're giving emphasis to the fact that you and I, just like stars, we are light in this world. Jesus Christ is the great light, the light of the world as he is called. But you and I are the lesser lights. We reflect the image of the Savior. We radiate the light of the gospel. We are to be like John the Baptist, who was a burning and a shining light. Now you walk among your family as stars of great brightness. I hope you do if you're a Christian tonight. You go into your school, young people, and in your school you're to be that star shining for God. You enter into your work environment if you're in employment, and you're to be a star there for God. And you live out your life before your neighbors and your community, all that you come into contact with, and you are to be an illumination. You're to be that star. This world, you see, is in a state of spiritual darkness. Very sadly, as the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And he went on to say, they will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Once the sinner comes to the light, they begin to see themselves as sinners. Their deeds, their works, and their actions in this world are reproved by the light of divine truth. But men love darkness, and the unconverted, they walk in darkness, the Bible tells us. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 82 in verse 5. Oh, my dear friend, in this meeting tonight, without Christ, and maybe some that are listening on in the internet, here indeed is your spiritual state if you would know it. And I pray that God will show it to you tonight. It is one of darkness. It is a term that is used by God to describe your state before Him. Sadly, darkness defines your way, and darkness defines your end, your eternity. For you were under the power of darkness, the Bible tells us, and you're heading to the blackness of darkness forever. But light, here's the good news, light has come into the world. The light of Christ, the light of His gospel, proclaimed by God's people who are lights, who are stars in this world, that you might come to the light and be saved. Oh, the God of this world, Paul says, as he wrote to the Corinthian church, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you're blinded, you're in darkness, aren't you? You can't see. And the God of this world, one of the titles given to the devil himself, what has he done? He has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. And if the devil had his way, he'll keep you in spiritual darkness. He'll keep you there until the day that you die. But praise God tonight, as that passage goes on to say, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that God has commanded light to shine out of darkness. And He wants to shine that light into your heart, that you might be illuminated, that you might see. Oh, dear believer tonight, let your light be burning well for God in these last days in which we live, so that others might see your light, the light of the gospel, and be converted. Another word came to my mind, and it was observation. The wise men saw the star. That's what was read tonight in the second verse. They came to Jerusalem, these wise men, and they asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These men obviously studied astrology. At this particular time, they saw a new star, a unique star, indeed his star, as it is called. Now, some people said it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Others suggest that it was a supernova. And still others say it was a comet. Well, I say, on the authority of the Word of God tonight, very simply, it was His star. It was Christ's star. Unique, remarkable, outstanding. A star of notability, and it came before the gaze of these wise men who saw it. And my dear Christian tonight, let me remind you that your star will be seen. Your life will be observed, gazed upon, indeed scrutinized. Your family and your friends, your neighbors and your work associates, your school companions and those that you spend your time with will put your life under the microscope. They will. They'll study it and they'll look at it. They'll examine it. They'll scrutinize it every day that you live before them. Remember, your words are important because men listen to your words. But remember also that your works are important because they're seen. What you do is seen.
The Bible speaks much about the believer being seen, being watched. Remember the words that I mentioned there that left the lips of Christ in Matthew 5 and 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see." They may see your good works. Herod observed John the Baptist. We saw that this morning as we read that passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Mark. He observed his life. You remember what he saw in John. He saw a godly life, a life that was just and holy. Paul called the Corinthians epistles, which are known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. And that ought to make us sit up, shouldn't it, dear child of God? The fact that other people are watching us, they're reading our lives the way you would read a letter. They're studying us, they're scrutinizing us. That ought to make us sit up and to be careful how we live our lives out in this life in which the Lord has permitted us to be. The psalmist speaks about the believer's testimony under the terms of the new song. And many of you will immediately now think of the Psalm 40, where it speaks about the new song, and David's giving a word of testimony there. And you remember what he said about the new song? You would think he maybe should say, "Many will hear it." If I was listening to a song, it would be through my ears. But when David spoke about the new song that God had put into the hearts of his people, he said, "Many shall see it." They will see it, and they will fear, and they will come to trust or rely on the Lord. But here's the question tonight. What do they see? Your life and mine will either draw sinners to Christ or drive them away. We will either reflect the image and the glory of our Savior, or we will reflect something that's entirely different. We can never underestimate the value and the power of a good testimony, a star that is shining brightly for the Lord, a life that radiates for Christ. It will have an amazing impact, and we know that. We know what godly lives have had by way of impact and influence upon other people. As the unconverted looked on and they saw the very image of Christ in individuals and the way that they walked as they looked at their lives, it made an impression upon them. We ought to consider our mammoth responsibility before others, the seriousness of what we are saying as we walk in this world among them, the places that you go, the music that you listen to, the conversations that you hold, the activities that you involve yourself in, the people that you admire and follow, all have an influence upon those around you. What is observed in your daily conduct and conversation? Dear believer, you're a star. There's illumination that's giving light. There's observation. It's being seen. And then there was a third word came to my mind, and that's direction. If you look at verse 9 of the passage that was read tonight, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The very simple thought here is this: the star led these men to Christ, moved in that direction until it came to the very place where the Lord lay. And you can't fail to see the application here as a star, as a light in the world. What direction are you giving to men? Do you lead others into temptation? I hope not. Do you lead them into evil, into worldly places, into filthy conversation? Do you lead them into things that they should not be watching on the television or on the internet? Do you lead them into dishonest dealings? Of course, it should not be so if you are a true Christian. Our lives should be lives that lead others to Christ, to a blessed Savior who came into this world in the fullness of time. who walked perfectly and obediently as our great representative in this world, who went to the cruel cross at Calvary to pay the price for our sin, who indeed suffered the eternal wrath of God, and who was able to save to the uttermost all that come to him, who was able to bring men and women to heaven, forgiving their sin and pardoning all their transgression. You want to lead men to the Holy Word? You want to lead them to the house of God where they can sit and listen to the Word of God? You want to lead them in the paths of righteousness, but my friends, most importantly, you want to lead them to Christ himself. Dear sinner, tonight in this meeting, you've come here, you have no profession of faith, you do not know Christ as your Savior. I wonder, have you seen Christ? Have you seen Christ in the lives of others who really know the Lord and are walking right as stars in this world? Can I point you to Christ tonight? Can I tell you of this wonderful Savior who was able to redeem you and make you fit for the kingdom of God? That's the direction that I want to lead you in. I want to bring you to the place where you can meet with Christ. And then I thought of jubilation, because verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, if as stars we have done our job right, and we have led others to Christ, it will bring the greatest sense of joy imaginable. It brings joy to the poor sinner who finds Christ. Oh, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that this world cannot give. Yes, there is worldly joy in the pleasures of sin, which lasts for a season. Though very often I have to confess that I do not see the joy, for example, that drunkenness brings, that drugs give. I see young people very often out of control. I've seen them lying in their vomit. I have seen them deranged in their minds. I have seen them with broken hearts. And the many out there with broken lives, broken bodies, broken families, broken marriages, broken promises. But let's assume there is some kind of joy, a worldly joy, albeit, in the pleasures of this world. It's only for a season. Let me remind you, it's only for a little space of time, then eternity. But Jesus gives real joy, satisfying joy, eternal joy. In his presence, the psalmist tells us, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. The psalmist tells us, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And you know the word blessed is happy. When the evangelist Philip in Acts chapter 8 went to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ and the people gave heed to his preaching, we are told that there was great joy in that city. And my dear friends, when people come to know the Lord, when an individual comes to trust in Christ, there's joy that is brought to that person. When a man discovers the Savior and comes to know his sins forgiven, that he's delivered from hell, and he's now on his way to heaven, I tell you, it brings great joy. There's jubilation. And then just as I wind up tonight, there's adoration. Verse 11 says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, presenting to Christ the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is ultimately where the star led these wise men to. They were led to the feet of Christ. In the case of the wise men, albeit to an infant Christ, just a little one, we reckon a year and a half, 2 years old by this stage when the wise men have come to see him and they see him there and give their gifts to him. But they knew who he was and they were brought to that place of adoration and worship and they worshiped him. May you be led to the feet of Christ in adoration and praise, even this Christmas time, as we celebrate and rejoice in the incarnation of our Savior is coming into the world. I say in the words of the Christmas carol, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. If you do not know him as your personal Savior, it is our burden of heart that you will be led to him, that you will be guided to him, that you will follow the star to the place where Jesus is, and that you will come and trust in him this very night for Jesus' sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, we give thanks for the meeting tonight, for a sense of your presence, for your word, for the fact that we as your people are lights in this world, stars to shine the way, to lead others to righteousness. Oh God, we pray earnestly now in the close of this time for any among us who know not the Lord, and any that are listening in on the internet who are strangers to your grace. Lord, bring them to the light of the gospel, to the light of Christ, where they will put their faith and trust in him and come to know the joy of sins forgiven, peace and pardon with God forevermore. Lord, do it for your name's sake and your great glory. We ask through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're going to sing the same hymn in closing tonight that we sang last week. Some of the hymns have been the same because they've fitted in very much with what we have wanted to say. But I love this appeal hymn, this closing hymn in a gospel service as we come to the end of a meeting like this, where it has this expression, this desire, save me. Jesus, save me now. Wonder, have you ever prayed a prayer like that? You ever come to know his salvation? You ever asked the Lord to save you? You can do that tonight. You can do it right where you're sitting. We've often said, you don't need me. You don't need any preacher. You need Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. He's the Redeemer. And you just call upon his name tonight in your heart. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. And he will. Will you come to the cross? This is what the hymn speaks about. I am coming to the cross. I'm poor and weak and blind. I'm counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. Help you. We're here to encourage you. And if you'd like to talk to me or any of the elders afterwards, stay behind and we'll be only too glad to try and answer your questions. If you want to be saved, come to Christ. Let us point the way to him. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now in your fear and with your love upon us. Bless your word to every heart and help your people, help us all to be those stars in the world as lights that shine the way to the place of Christ. We pray for the unconverted that they will be brought to that place where they will cry out in the depths of their soul, Lord, be merciful to me. Save me, Jesus. Save me now, we ask. In and through Christ our Redeemer. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You'll be asked to leave in the usual fashion. Thank you.